All right, so today we're going deep on a case that really highlights that tension, between agencies trying to get things done efficiently and making sure the public can still, have their say.
Oh, absolutely.
We're talking about Citizens Awareness Network, Inc. v. United States, First Circuit decision. And it really digs into how much leeway agencies have when they try to streamline their processes. And of course, this all has to happen, within the bounds of
The APA.
the APA, right? The Administrative Procedure Act.
Exactly. For me, what makes this case so interesting is that it's not just about, nuclear reactor licenses.
Right.
This case, it really gets to the core of how agencies operate in general, how they balance speed and fairness, and that crucial role that the APA plays in, keeping everything in check.
Right, keeping them honest. So let's set the stage a little bit. We've got the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the NRC, and they're facing just a ton of license renewal applications.
Just a flood of them.
And they decide to get rid of their old hearing process, the trial-like one, which, let's be real, it was really long, really
Oh,
complex.
yeah. Think like full-on courtroom drama. You've got lawyers going back and forth, tons of evidence, and cross-examinations that could like drag on
Let's
forever.
talk about inefficient.
Exactly.
So the NRC decides, okay, let's switch things up. They go for something more informal. They start limiting things like discovery, which, for our listeners who might not be lawyers, discovery is basically that process where both sides, they're gathering evidence before a hearing even happens.
Right, building their case.
Exactly.
Oh.
And they also they put some pretty strict limits on when you could actually use cross-examination. And that's where our friends at Citizens Awareness Network come in, to
Yeah,
CAN.
yes.
These guys are all about nuclear safety, and they are not happy about these changes.
Not one bit.
They argue that basically what the NRC did was make it almost impossible for them to like really challenge these licenses.
Yeah, their big worry was that without that robust discovery process and the ability to really cross-examine witnesses, it would be way harder to uncover, potential safety problems and to really hold the NRC accountable for their decisions.
So they take the NRC to court. They're saying, hey, these new rules, they're violating the APA.
Right.
And this is where it gets really interesting because the whole case really boils down to three specific sections of the APA. We're talking sections 554, 556, and 557. These sections basically lay out the ground rules for what's called formal adjudication.
Right.
So it's like how agencies have to run these types of hearings.
Yeah, the procedures, the steps they have to follow. And Incan's argument was that these sections, they were super clear. The NRC, they have to stick to a trial-like process.
No cutting corners.
No shortcuts.
But the NRC, they had a different interpretation, right?
Oh, yeah, they weren't going down without a fight. They basically said, hold on, the APA, it gives us some wiggle room here. They argued they could adjust those procedures as long as they were still meeting those basic safeguards that the APA lays out. So their argument was, look, we can be fair and efficient at the same time. But their initial strategy in court, I was a little off, let's say. They
Really, say
actually
that.
started off arguing that these formal APA rules, they didn't even apply to them.
That's a bold strategy.
Bold, maybe not so brilliant.
Does it work?
Not at all. It was a pretty big blunder, actually.
Yeah.
One of the judges on the panel, Judge Lippez, he later criticized the NRC for this. Basically said they were wasting everyone's time and money with that argument.
Ouch.
He pointed out that the APA has always given agencies, some flexibility, especially when you're dealing with something as complex and technical as nuclear licensing.
Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly black and white.
Right. So Judge Lippez basically saying, hey, you could have saved everyone a lot of trouble if you just read the rule book carefully.
Right, like, come on, guys.
Exactly. And it's a good reminder for anyone working in administrative law, clear legal arguments from the beginning, it can really save you a lot of headaches later on.
Yeah, lesson learned for sure. So after that little hiccup, how did the court actually rule?
Well, they ended up siding with the NRC,
Okay.
but they did lay down some pretty important ground rules along the way.
All right, so the NRC wins, but with some conditions. This is getting good. Tell me more.
Well, first they made it clear that agencies need flexibility, got to design their processes to be efficient. So they said the NRC was in the clear, but only as long as they were upholding what they called fundamental safeguards.
Okay, so the NRC can streamline things, but there are limits. What exactly are these fundamental safeguards the court was so worried about? They sound pretty important.
They are. We're talking about ensuring basic fairness, a real chance for people to participate. For example, everyone involved needs to know about the hearing. No surprises. And then there's the right to a neutral hearing, right?
So no bias. Got it.
Exactly. The decision maker has to be impartial. Can't be rooting for one side or the other.
Makes sense. Can't have a fair hearing if the judge is, like, already cheering for one team.
Precisely. And then, of course, you've got the right to present your evidence. This is where things get a little tricky because, remember, the NRC had limited discovery.
Right, right. That was one of Can's biggest concerns.
Exactly. And that can make it tough to gather all the evidence you need to build your case.
So what did the court say about that? Did they just give the NRC free rein to restrict discovery however they wanted?
Not quite. The court recognized that limiting discovery, yeah, it could raise some fairness issues. But they also said agencies need some wiggle room. They've got to manage these processes, keep them moving.
Right.
So it's about balance, right? The NRC has to make sure they aren't tipping the scales too far in favor of efficiency and sacrificing fairness in the process.
It sounds like a pretty delicate balancing act. Mm. What about cross-examination, though? That seems like, I don't know, a pretty basic right in any legal proceeding. Did the court say the NRC could restrict that, too?
This is where it gets really interesting, really nuanced. They didn't get rid of cross-examination entirely, but they did make it more, well, more case by case. They said the right to cross-examine someone, that kicks in when it's necessary for a full and true disclosure of the facts.
So it's not automatic anymore. You have to prove to the hearing officer that you need it to really dig into the truth.
Right. It's a significant shift.
It is. Has that been controversial?
Oh, absolutely. It's been a big point of debate ever since this ruling came out.
I can imagine.
Some people say it gives agencies too much power, you know, to control what information comes out, limit how much their decisions are scrutinized. But others argue it's just a necessary adjustment to the way things are now. Administrative law is complex, agencies deal with tough issues, and they need ways to resolve these disputes efficiently.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see both sides. But what about those constitutional arguments that Can brought up? They said these new procedures were violating their due process rights. What did the court think about that?
They weren't convinced. The court basically said, look, due process definitely applies in these administrative hearings, but we don't think the NRC's changes went too far. They pointed out that even with the limitations, the NRC was still providing basic protections.
Like what?
Notice, an impartial hearing, a chance to present evidence.
Right, right.
So the message was, due process doesn't mean you get every single procedural bell and whistle you might want. It's about basic fairness. And we think the NRC system achieves that.
Got it. So the court was like, look, it's not perfect, but it's not unconstitutional either.
Exactly. They also looked at Can's argument about the NRC favoring utility companies over citizen groups. And the court said, as long as the NRC had a good reason for treating different parties differently, it's not a problem.
Okay, so what does that mean, a good reason?
Well, legally speaking, it's called rational basis. It's a standard courts use to look at government actions. And it's a pretty low bar to clear, meaning the government basically just has to show that their actions are reasonably connected to what they're trying to achieve.
So in this case, the NRC wanted to make things more efficient.
Right.
And the court said, yeah, streamlining makes sense. It's a reasonable way to do that, even if it means some groups might have a tougher time making their case.
That's a good summary. The court wasn't saying the NRC's changes were perfect, you know, or that they wouldn't create some hurdles for groups like Ken. But those hurdles, in their view, they weren't so bad that they were violating constitutional rights.
Okay, so the court was walking a tightrope here.
Definitely. Trying to balance these competing interests, make a decision that wouldn't just completely shut down the NRC's efforts to modernize.
Yeah. So a win for the NRC, but a win with some strings attached.
Yeah.
They can streamline things, but they still got to play by the rules, even if those rules are, you know, a little more flexible now.
You got it. And, you know, this case, even though it was specifically about nuclear licensing, it's actually had a big impact on administrative law in general. It's become kind of a landmark case for this debate about how to find that balance between being efficient and being fair in a world where agencies are dealing with more and more complex and controversial issues.
Yeah, it really makes you think, you know, administrative law, it's not just about dry rules and regulations. It's about finding ways to make sure government agencies can actually get things done, but in a way that also protects people's rights and keeps the public informed.
Absolutely. And speaking of the real world, I think it's important to take a step back here and consider the practical implications of this ruling. How has this actually played out in the years since the court made its decision?
Yeah, that's a good point. We've been digging into the legal details, but What's the reality on the ground? Have these streamlined procedures actually made the NRC more efficient? And if so, what's been the trade-off?
Well, one thing's for sure. Licensing decisions are happening much faster now. The NRC has been able to get through that backlog of applications and move things along at a much quicker pace. This has been a big win for the nuclear industry, obviously.
Yeah, they've got to be happy about that. From their perspective, time is money, right?
Exactly. A faster approval process means they can get their projects off the ground sooner. But what about the groups like CAN who are worried about all this? How has it affected their ability to, you know, raise concerns and advocate for safety?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
It's a bit of a mixed bag, honestly. On one hand, the NRC hasn't completely shut down public participation.
Okay.
They've generally been following the court's guidance on things like cross-examination, allowing it when it's really needed to get the full picture.
So it's not like they've just completely silenced any kind of scrutiny.
Right. But on the other hand, you have a lot of groups saying that limiting discovery, it makes it so hard to get all the information they need. They feel like they're being asked to challenge these licenses without having the tools to do it effectively.
It's like trying to solve a puzzle when you're missing half the pieces.
Exactly. And that really highlights the tension at the heart of this case and really in administrative law as a whole.
Yeah. How do you balance the need for efficiency with the need for transparency and public input?
Right. And it's a tough question. No easy answers. This case really makes us face it head on. Are we giving up too much for the sake of efficiency? Are we putting speed ahead of safety? And these aren't just questions about nuclear licensing. We see this same struggle in all sorts of regulatory areas, from environmental protection to financial oversight.
It makes you wonder how much streamlining is too much.
Mm-hmm.
At what point does it start to undermine public trust? Like, do we end up with a system where agencies are basically just rubber stamping things without really looking closely enough?
That's a huge question. And it's something that policymakers and the courts need to keep thinking about as they shape the future of administrative law. This case is a reminder that we can't just blindly chase efficiency. We have to streamline things in a way that doesn't sacrifice fairness, transparency, and accountability.
Yeah, it's like that old saying, justice delayed is justice denied. But we also have to be careful not to rush things so much that it ends up putting public safety at risk or hurting people's trust in these institutions.
Well said. And I think this case, with all its complexity and its nuances, it really offers some important lessons about those challenges, how to balance these competing interests in a way that serves both the public good and the principles of good governance.
So what's the big takeaway for our listeners here? What should they be thinking about after listening to this deep dive?
Well, one of the biggest takeaways for me is that administrative law, it's not just some fixed set of rules. It's always changing, always evolving to meet new challenges and adapt to what's happening in society. The Citizens Awareness Network case is a perfect example of that. It forces us to re-examine how we think about how agencies should operate and how we weigh these different values like efficiency and fairness.
It also reminds us that these aren't just abstract legal debates.
Right.
This stuff has real-world consequences.
For sure.
For people, for communities, for industries. Whether we're talking about nuclear power plants or something else entirely, the decisions made by agencies and the way they make those decisions, it has a direct impact on our lives.
Absolutely. And cases like this show how important it is to stay informed and get involved. Make sure your voice is heard in these important discussions.
It's a call to action for all of us, really. Whether you're a lawyer, a policymaker, a concerned citizen, or just someone who wants to understand how things work, we need to be a part of shaping a system that's both effective and fair.
Couldn't agree more. And with that, I think we'll wrap up our deep dive for today. It's been a fascinating look at a complex and timely issue. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening, everyone. And remember, keep those legal brains buzzing. We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.
Well, first, they made it clear that agencies need flexibility. Got to design their processes to be efficient. So they said the NRC was in the clear, but only as long as they were upholding what they called fundamental safeguards.
Okay, so the NRC can streamline things, but there are limits.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly are these fundamental safeguards that the court was so worried about? They sound pretty important.
They are. We're talking about ensuring basic fairness, a real chance for people to participate. For example, everyone involved needs to know about the hearing, no surprises, and then there's the right to a neutral hearing, right?
So no bias, got it.
Exactly. The decision maker has to be impartial. Can't be rooting for one side or the other.
Makes sense. Can't have a fair hearing if the judge is like already cheering for one team.
Precisely. And then, of course, you've got the right to present your evidence. This is where things get a little tricky, because remember, the NRC had limited discovery.
Right, right. That was one of Can's biggest concerns.
Exactly. And that can make it tough to gather all the evidence you need to build your case.
So what did the court say about that? Did they just give the NRC free rein to restrict discovery however they wanted?
Not quite. The court recognized that limiting discovery, yeah, it could raise some fairness issues, but they also said agencies need some wiggle room. They've got to manage these processes, keep them moving.
Right.
So it's about balance, right? The NRC has to make sure they aren't tipping the scales too far in favor of efficiency and sacrificing fairness in the process.
It sounds like a pretty delicate balancing act.
Yeah.
What about cross-examination, though? That seems like, I don't know, a pretty basic in any legal proceeding. Did the court say the NRC could restrict that too?
This is where it gets really interesting, really nuanced. They didn't get rid of cross-examination entirely, but they did make it more, well, more case by case. They said the right to cross-examine someone that kicks in when it's necessary for a full and true disclosure of the facts.
So it's not automatic anymore. You have to prove to the hearing officer that you need it to really dig into the truth.
Right. It's a significant shift.
It is. Has that been controversial?
Oh, absolutely. It's been a big point of debate ever since this ruling came out.
I can imagine.
Some people say it gives agencies too much power, you know, to control what information comes out, limit how much their decisions are scrutinized. But others argue it's just a necessary adjustment to the way things are now. Administrative law is complex agencies deal with tough issues and they need ways to resolve these disputes efficiently.
Hmm. Yeah, I can see both sides. But what about those constitutional arguments that Canon brought up? They said these new procedures were violating their due process rights. What does the court think about that?
They weren't convinced. The court basically said, look, due process definitely applies in these administrative hearings, but we don't think the NRC's changes went too far. They pointed out that even with the limitations, the NRC was still providing basic protections.
Like what?
Notice an impartial hearing, a chance to present evidence.
Right, right.
So the message was, due process doesn't mean you get every single procedural bell and whistle you might want. It's about basic fairness, and we think the NRC's system achieves that.
Got it. So the court was like, look, it's not perfect, but it's not unconstitutional either.
Exactly. They also looked at Can's argument about the NRC favoring utility companies over citizen groups. And the court said as long as the NRC had a good reason for treating different parties differently, it's not a problem.
Okay, so what does that mean, a good reason?
Well, legally speaking, it's called rational basis. It's a standard courts use to look at government actions, and it's a pretty low bar to clear, meaning the government basically just has to show that their actions are reasonably connected to what they're trying to achieve.
So in this case, the NRC wanted to make things more efficient.
Right.
And the court said, yeah, streamlining makes sense. It's a reasonable way to do that, even if it means some groups might have a tougher time making their case.
That's a good summary. The court wasn't saying the NRC's changes were perfect, you know, or that they wouldn't create some hurdles for groups like CAN, but those hurdles, in their view, they weren't so bad that they were violating constitutional rights.
Okay, so the court was walking a tightrope here.
Definitely trying to balance these competing interests, make a decision that wouldn't just completely shut down the NRC's efforts to modernize.
Yeah, so a win for the NRC, but a win with some strings attached. They can streamline things, but they still got to play by the rules, even if those rules are, you know, a little more flexible now.
You got it. And, you know, this case, even though it was specifically about nuclear licensing, it's actually had a big impact on administrative law in general. It's become kind of a landmark case for this debate about how to find that balance between being efficient and being fair in a world where agencies are dealing with more and more complex and controversial issues.
Yeah, it really makes you think, you know, administrative law, it's not just about dry rules and regulations. It's about finding ways to make sure government agencies can actually get things done, but in a way that also protects people's rights and keeps the public informed.
Well, one thing's for sure, licensing decisions are happening a lot faster now. The NRC has been able to work through that backlog of applications, and they're moving things along much more quickly, which has been a big win for the nuclear industry, of course.
Yeah, makes sense. They must be pretty happy time is money, right?
Exactly. A faster approval process means they can get their projects going sooner. But what about the groups like CANN who are concerned about these changes? How has this affected their ability to raise concerns and advocate for safety?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering about.
It's kind of a mixed bag, to be honest. On the one hand, the NRC hasn't totally shut down public participation.
Okay.
They've generally been following the court's guidance on things like cross-examination, you know, allowing it when it's really necessary to get the full picture.
So it's not a total blackout on scrutiny then.
Right. But on the other hand, a lot of groups are saying that with limited discovery, it's really difficult to get all the information they need. They feel like they're being asked to challenge these licenses with one hand tied behind their backs.
It's like they're trying to solve a puzzle, but they're missing half the pieces.
Exactly. And that really highlights the tension at the heart of this case and really in administrative law in general.
Yeah. How do you balance efficiency with transparency and public input? It's a tough one.
Right. And there are no easy answers. This case really makes us face that question head on. Are we giving up too much in the name of efficiency? Are we putting speed ahead of safety? And these questions go beyond nuclear licensing. You see the same struggle in so many regulatory areas, everything from environmental protection to financial oversight.
It makes you wonder how much streamlining is too much. At what point does it start to erode public trust? You know, like, do we end up with a system where agencies are basically just rubber stamping things without really taking a close look?
That's the key question. And it's something that policymakers and the courts need to really grapple with as they continue to shape administrative law. This case reminds us that we can't just blindly pursue efficiency as the ultimate goal we have to streamline things, but we can't sacrifice fairness, transparency, and accountability.
It's like that old saying, justice delayed is justice denied. But we also have to be careful not to rush things so much that it ends up putting public safety at risk or damaging people's trust in these institutions.
Well said. And I think this case, with all its complexities and nuances, it offers some valuable lessons about how to navigate these competing interests in a way that serves both the public good and good governance.
So what's the final takeaway for our listeners today? What should they be thinking about after listening to this deep dive?
For me, one of the most important takeaways is that administrative law is not static. It's always changing, always evolving as it responds to new challenges and societal shifts. The Citizens Awareness Network case is a perfect example of that. It really forces us to rethink our assumptions about how agencies should function, how to balance competing values like efficiency and fairness.
And it reminds us that these aren't just abstract legal debates.
Right.
This stuff has real consequences.
Absolutely.
For people, for communities, for industries, whether we're talking about nuclear power plants or something else, the decisions made by agencies and how they make those decisions have a real impact on our lives.
For sure. And cases like this underscore how important it is to stay informed and engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure your voice is heard in these critical conversations.
It's a call to action for everyone, really. Whether you're a lawyer, a policymaker, a concerned citizen, or just someone who wants to understand how things work. We all need to be part of creating a system that is both effective and fair.
I couldn't agree more. And with that, I think it's time to wrap up this deep dive. It's been a fascinating discussion about a really complex and timely topic. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening, everyone. And as always, keep those legal brains buzzing. We'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.